We're talking today with the Vice President and Dean of the Division of Agriculture and Natural Resources, Dr. Tom Kuhn. Dr. Kuhn, let's talk about maybe a couple of things that are happening right now that I know you're very, very excited about, and that is an imminent grand opening of a new facility right here on campus at OSU for Division of Ag.
That's right, Ron. Thanks a lot. So our new Greenhouse Learning Center is going to be opening. August 24th will be our grand opening. We're actually going to have students using it, really beginning with the fall semester. But this is a teaching greenhouse. So we've been operating in some old greenhouses that were built back in the 50s for cotton research. They were kind of tucked away over by the Colvin Center. We're moving into modern 21st century greenhouses this fall. And it's going to have the latest technology in terms of controlling the environment, light, humidity, what have you, and then a really effective classroom facility associated with it. So we're really excited about opening that. We've had some great support from the industry to make that happen. And I think our students are pretty excited about it.
This is something that obviously not just students are going to have the benefit of, but the industry as a whole.
Absolutely. Well, it's a place for them to come and showcase their equipment or their techniques if they want to. But also, it's a way for them to benefit from having students come out who have skills and understand how to use the technology that they're using in their commercial greenhouses now.
You said you've got at least one other project that's really starting to show some progress, tangible progress on campus as well.
That's right. The animal physiology building out on the west side of campus is one where it really gives us a controlled environment where we can do research with livestock animals, with larger animals than little white rats. So under controlled conditions, looking at nutrition or reproduction or whatever it is, but where we need to be able to make sure we've got that animal under close scrutiny, where we can keep an eye on them and understand the environment they're in and so on. So we've begun construction on that. We will complete that building before we tear down the old one, but the new one's going to have the latest technology for control. The environment for the animals, animal safety and well-being will be foremost in our treatment there.
Let's talk a little bit about where you are as far as that's obviously the facility side. And as we've talked, that's kind of a different pot of money. But the money that you're using from the monies that come from the legislature, those are monies that you've got to use for actual people, the personnel, the talent that we have within the experiment station, within the extension department primarily.
That's right. And really 85 to 95% of our appropriated funds for both extension and the ag experiment station, which is our research arm, 85 to 95% of that goes into people. Into extension educators, clerical staff, tenure stream faculty, technicians, and so on. So, and those have been pretty limited resources for us. Over the last 5 years, we've lost 25% of our state funding there. That amounts to about $13.5 million per year that we're not getting. And when 90% of your budget goes into people, that's a reduction in the number of people that you can have on your faculty and in your county extension offices and so on.
I know that you'd indicated that on the county side of things, you've kind of developed a template of what a county is going to look like, and they're really at the point of fully implementing that in about a year, right?
In a year, that's right. We wanted to make sure the counties have an opportunity to understand how this is going to affect them. Counties are really our key partners in delivering extension at the local level, and they provide the office for our staff to be there. They provide some operating funds. Historically, we've always provided the funding for the staff in the county. Now, there was an opportunity for the county to add to that if they wanted to have extra educators, so that's been going on. But with the cuts that we've taken over the last 5 years, we've really had to scale that back. So we will have the model beginning next July 2020. We'll have one educator that we will fund in every county and one clerical support person in every county. And those are really key positions. We've got to have an educator in every county, in my opinion, because with 4-H in particular, we've got to have someone who's in the community, who knows people, can screen, can train, and so on, and have people's trust. And we need to have a person at the office all the time who can answer questions, direct traffic, tell people where they can get information, and so on. So that'll be our basic plan, if you will, of how we staff in every county office. There will be an opportunity to add to that if the county or if another partner, maybe a commodity group, maybe a local health center wants to provide funds to help with nutrition education, whatever it is, there's an opportunity to add to that staff to meet local needs. But we're going to have that basic level of service going into effect July 1 next year.
For the agricultural community, obviously farming, ranching is a lot more technical, a lot more advanced compared to just even a generation or so ago. In a lot of cases, the expertise that's been in the county office is more of an area specialist now, right?
Well, it is. I mean, a lot of our county educators have tremendous expertise, but they have 40 hours in a week, right? Or 60 is more often what we get. And so we simply can't spread them too thin. Plus, the nature of information today is such that people really do need to be specialized in some way to be keeping up on what's going on with cotton or what's going on with cattle nutrition, what have you. Absolutely, the area specialists have been really important in helping us make sure we've got that expertise. And a number of our educators have really stepped up and become more specialized as well.
As far as looking at the folks that are on campus, both the extension but also the experiment station, extension at the state level, you've had a lot of pressure as far as you've had to work pretty hard to try to be imaginative enough, I guess, to come up with the essentials.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of our extension system is that it combines on-campus expertise, our specialists, with people who are specialized in knowing the community needs, our educators. And we've got to have both elements of that network for it to work well. And so we've lost a lot of capacity among our faculty, and we're losing capacity among our educators. And so how do we fill in the gap there? Well, part of it is we're trying to make sure that the expertise that our specialists have, that expertise is as easily available as possible. And so we've made a big investment in our website and making sure that it works well, that we've got content there that answers the questions that people have on a daily basis, whether it's in farm and ranch operations or community development or youth development, what have you. And then using technology to deliver that. Our fact sheets are one of our greatest assets, and you can download them now. It's very easy to get those. We are adapting them to our new web platform. We'll go live with that later this fall. But one of the things, it sounds crazy, but one of the things is you have to design it with what you want in mind at the outset. And what we want is a system of expertise that's searchable by Google or Bing or whatever you want to use, because that's how people get to the web today. They don't memorize your website address, your URL. They go and say to Google, well, what can you tell me about heat and cattle reproduction? And so we want to make sure they find Dr. Selk's Cow-Calf Corner from last Monday, and that's the first thing that shows up on that Google search because it's so specific to what they're asking about. So part of it is you got to design the information system to work in that way so that Google thinks, hey, this is the exact answer we're looking for.
As you kind of look out and see where you're at right now, what are some of the needs you're hearing from the various departments? In other words, where if you could get some additional funds, some additional support from the legislature, from the state of Oklahoma, for example, what do we need to out there to be as good of an operation as we can be?
Well, I think two things that I would say are sort of common themes. One is let's make sure that we have the latest technology. So let's bring in faculty or educators who are facile in using technology, whether it's drones or apps or whatever it is that have that expertise. Biotechnology in particular is really important, you know, and that's not just a matter of GMOs. That's a matter of understanding how genes interact with the environment to influence the quality of wheat that we produce or the quality of calf that we produce, the quality of milk that we produce, whatever that is. We need expertise that can operate in that realm and really help us push the envelope. And then we need people who can help to translate that to the rancher or farmer or family leader who's trying to put that information to work. So it's not a one size fits all. We need really strong scientists who can come in and help us with some of those fundamental questions, and then we need really effective extensionists who can take that information and make it available to people.
Maybe not an easy question to answer, but how does OSU as a land grant institution on the agricultural side, how do we compare it to some of our neighbors? Are we kind of holding our own? Or are we just kind of at the bare minimum right now? Where are we?
Well, I would say we are one of the leanest in our neighborhood in terms of, you know, you go to some of our neighboring states and the land grant institution might have two or three experts in a particular area of importance. You know, you think about it with beef or with wheat in our case. And here we've got one deep. Our wheat improvement team is a great model of having a multidisciplinary team that comes together: the entomologists, the soils folks, the plant breeders, the geneticists. You know, everyone working together, and we're one deep through that whole system. We got one weed scientist. We got one plant breeder. We got one geneticist. We got, you know, so that's the way we are. And you look at some of our neighboring states and they might have two or three in some of those positions, and, you know, good for them. That's great. What I'm most proud of is that we've got a group that works as a team who can make that lean operation work and work well. And you know, continue to produce new varieties of wheat that are changing the landscape for Oklahoma wheat growers, as an example. And I think, you know, similarly, and with our on the beef side, we've got a similar kind of one deep in a lot of areas, and we're short in some areas as well. And I know that, and you know, Dr. Rusk makes sure that I'm aware of that every chance he gets. He's a very patient man, but he also knows how much of a difference it would make for us to be able to bring three or four more faculty into that department to work on our beef team. And I know, you know, it's the same thing with some of our other departments. Our food science, we could really grow that. Our food and ag products center. You know, it's really been cut back. And so these are all areas where we've got some fundamental research and we've got people with a mind to applying that research working together.
Thanks, Dr. Kuhn. Dr. Tom Kuhn of the Division of Agriculture at Oklahoma State University. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.